Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation. Tuning back into Saga. I'm your host Garrison, and I'm here with Sarah. And today we're doing something different yet again, following from our Frozen 2 show and our Klaus show. Please listen to those if you haven't, and give us feedback on what you like. We'll also be doing something different for next week's show as well, so tune in for that. But today we're talking about The Nightmare Before Christmas. And this format for this show is going to be What Happens Next, which is basically our thoughts and opinions and theories on the aftermath of the movie and potential sequel story, different things like that. So thanks for listening. Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care. So the plot for The Nightmare Before Christmas is...
Wait, am I supposed to be reading this part?
No.
Oh.
I just wasn't mentally ready. So, yeah, the plot for the plot for The Nightmare Before Christmas. So another year of Halloween has passed, and the Pumpkin King, Jack Skellington, he's bored of the same old mundane thing year in and year out. But one day he stumbles on Christmas Town, and he is completely and utterly captivated by the novelty of this strange new land. And he tries to share this new experience with his citizens of Halloween Town. And this leads to a very unfavorable Christmas Eve that almost ruins Christmas, and which leads to Santa Claus being kidnapped and this sack of Bugs guy trying to kill Jack Skellington. But luckily, it ends somewhat on a good note with the Ragdoll Sally and Jack Skellington falling in love, and they realized that they didn't need Halloween, they needed each other, and that's what was missing, not like a holiday or some outside thing. And that's the story.
Yeah. Okay, I like that you called it Oogie Boogie, a sack of bugs. That was my only note. I was like, that's a very interesting way of putting it, you know? It's really what he is.
Yeah, and it plays, and the sack of bugs plays into my story, so I just thought that I would highlight that, but... Would you like to talk about your story first, or are we just gonna...
Sure, yeah. So, mine... So I've seen this movie 1,000 times before, so it's hard for me to go back and rewatch this with fresh eyes, being like, oh yeah, you know, like, let me come up with something really creative that would be really, really fun for the end of this. But I think I know too much. And you talk about this all the time, Garrison, about being too close to the subject. And I love that. Like, I love the idea that some people are just like way too like in bed with, or like they care about the details with like certain things. Like, for example, if you're too attached to like a piece of artwork, then you may not ever want to part with it. And you know, sometimes clients need their artwork. So that for me and this movie are very similar, because I've seen this movie so many times. I've always really, really loved this movie, especially around this time of the year where it's just like, I mean, it's a Halloween movie, it's a Christmas movie, it's both of them combined, and therefore makes a perfect film for those of us that love the spooky dooky stuff, as well as the kind of festive-y fun stuff. So that brings me to one of my points, is that I've been listening to another podcast recently called Popcorn Psychology, and I'm going to reference them in this because they did such an amazing job in dissecting this film, Nightmare Before Christmas. So they are all psychologists. Some of them are child psychologists. Some of them are just clinical psychologists. And then one of them is a relationship psychologist. And so they each kind of bring their own different viewpoints to the table and their own different specialization to the table. But for this one, I was listening to their episode about Nightmare Before Christmas, and it just made so much sense. One of the main points, and I can kind of list them here for you, was Jack is a white guy who is emotionally unavailable. Sally is kind of a princess in distress kind of thing. She needs a savior. Jack experiences burnout and goes on a rampage to find his creativity in other areas. And he's also experiencing a midlife crisis, much like a middle-aged man would do. Go buy the red sports car, go get a hot new girlfriend, this and that. Except for he's experiencing all of these things in terms of what his culture is and everything that's involved in Halloween Town. So he is looking for something to fill this creative void where he has exacerbated everything that he's already done. He's tired, he's bored of it, he wants to do something different. And then he goes off into the woods to lament his feelings and stumbles upon this I called it a Stargate in my notes, but that's not what it is. It's like a different, they're doors to different realms or universes, if you want to call them that. So he finds this holiday Stargate, and he goes into Christmas Town and sees everything that's going on there. He's like, oh man, what's this? And then he brings it back to his place and says, okay, no, we're doing this now. I don't care what you say. But okay, mind you, in all of this, he's the leader of Halloween Town. So he is in charge, and everything that he says, people will listen to him. So his townspeople are like, oh yeah, yeah. They didn't like it at first, but they were like, oh yeah, we count on to it. Sally's the only one that is gonna be hey, this is probably not a good idea, and this is gonna turn out really bad. He doesn't listen because he's an emotionally unavailable white guy. and then ruins Halloween for everybody and Christmas for everybody. And turns out Sally was right all along, and destroys Halloween. So it is my theory that with all of this stuff going on, I would think that is a low in Jack's life, having to have ruined Christmas and having to have ruined Halloween for a lot of people, that even though that's a low in his life, he will just continue to do the same thing over and over again until he is at his lowest low, pardon me, and then will have lost all of his friends, will have lost all of his reputation and his power, and kind of just fall into the back burner until he finds something to bring him back up again. It may not be Sally after that. And I say that because I've seen a lot of people in my life who are just like hungry for something that they don't know what it is, and then keep going and keep going and keep going, doing the same thing, just doing it differently, in many different ways, and then just like reaching their low. And so I think that Jack will go back into the woods and go into those other worlds that he didn't get to explore before, like Easter, St. Patty's Day, Thanksgiving, and then try to do the same thing over again and say, hey, look at what they got. Let's try to bring it here and do what they're doing, and then ruin it over and over again until he finally loses everything. And it's funny because when I very first watched this film, I remember thinking, I was like, but, you know, like, I feel like he's gonna go back and like go into those other doors, those other holiday doors. I'm gonna call them holiday holes. I don't know, maybe that's a better word for it. And try to take something from them too, because he is just so like, he's a hollow individual and doesn't really know who he is. And kind of relies on those around him to make him into who he is meant to be, which is Jack Skellington, the king of Halloween. And, you know, everybody that's big, you know, always falls. You know, don't get too big, otherwise you could fall from grace. And I think that is soon to be his fall from grace. This is just the first step of many in his fall from grace. But that's my theory on where it's going to end. It's a sad one, but I feel like it's a very realistic one. One that I probably wouldn't have thought of had I seen this film the first time going through. But because I know it and I've listened to the popcorn psychology on this episode, I feel like I just have a more realistic view on it. But I don't know. What about you, Garrison?
Well, I had a few comments for yours. Yours is definitely like the more realistic take, like what would actually happen in a potential like sequel or something. Your point about like Sally, for example, she was basically abused and like left in like a chamber for all of her life, so like there has to be some sort of like mental instability or something there, where she idolizes Jack in that he's basically like free, and or she perceives him to be free and like have things under control, and she lacks control in her environment, and that she sees Jack as a way out, and that even if they were to get together at the end of the movie, there's no saying that that relationship won't, you know, end terribly in some way once Sally realizes that that maybe Jack isn't as stable as she thought that he was, and that I think for a time for Jack, it could be a good thing for him, because it would like create something new in his life, and I think that's, you know, something that he's like craving, like he's craving something new, novelty. And I think that you're right about him like going into those other holiday holes and, you know, trying to recapture what he felt when he first went to Christmas Town.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I wanted to stick with the name scheme, like the Nightmare Before Christmas. The Nightmare Before Christmas is I saw that as the nightmare was, of course, you know, like Jack taking all of those scary toys to the kids, and that sort of like created like scares and basically a nightmare on Christmas. And I wanted to like recapture that title, but in a different way. And basically my story sort of goes something like this. So my story takes place some years after the events of the first film. Jack and Sally are now married, and they lead Halloween Town as a couple. So she's the pumpkin queen now. And so it's been many great years of like a Halloween festival, and you know, Jack seems to have like found new joy in his life, but this begins to wear thin, and you know, he begins to suffer from boredom again, and he's looking for something new. But at the same time, because Jack is suffering from boredom and is starting to show, Lock, Shock, and Barrel, their kids, like, they don't really, you know, they're not really, you know, they want to have, like, fun and stuff. So they kidnap Dr. Finkelstein and his bride, and they force them to resurrect the Bugsack. So, yeah, so that's sort of the premise that I'm going with, in that this new nightmare is going to be Boogie.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so meanwhile, a few days have passed, and Jack, you know, he's trying to come up with creative things to do for the next Halloween. So he draws up some schematics for like this special contraption, and he goes to Dr. Finkelstein's lab, and he realizes something is wrong, because you know, he's sort of a hermit and Dr. Finkelstein is usually in his lab, and he sees that he's not there. But Jack hears some murmurs in a closet, and he sees Dr. Finkelstein's helper from the first one, and he unties him, and he explains where Dr. Finkelstein was taken. So Jack quickly runs to Lock, Shock, and Barrel's hideout, and by this time it's too late. Boogie is alive and stronger than he was in the first one. So Boogie absolutely wrecks Jack and leaves him for dead, and he plans on killing him, but Jack narrowly escapes with his life. Like, he jumps through a window or something, or like he causes some sort of like smoke cloud or something. It doesn't really matter, but he gets away barely. And this leaves Boogie feeling victorious, so he sets out on taking over Halloween Town and eventually all of the other holiday holes. Boogie wants to change Halloween into Crawloween and make every holiday about like bugs and other creepy crawlies, and he wants to creep folks out. So that's sort of his motive, and at this point he wants to cause chaos. Meanwhile, so at this time, you know, Boogie has basically conquered Halloween Town, and Sally, you know, she's concerned, and she goes looking for Jack, and she finds him, you know, like she finds him where he was, like he's like punched over a tree or something. And Sally, Dr. Finkelstein, and his wife both all try to nurse Jack back to health. And then this is when Sally explains to Jack what's happening in the town, and this infuriates Jack. So, you know, they go on this adventure to save Christmas, because it's actually Christmas Eve. And this is when Jack, Sally, and Zero, the ghost dog, go go to Christmastown to like just, to like warn Santa that, you know, something bad is about to happen. And Santa really doesn't want to hear it from Jack because, you know, he kind of hijacked Christmas and almost ruined it. But because Sally, you know, helps Santa, they kind of, you know, they, you know, Santa's kind of cool with her. So Sally explains to Santa what's going on, and Santa and Jack team up and stuff. And that's pretty much where I stopped writing.
Gonna say that's like really good. That would make for a really good film. Especially as like Oogie Boogie, like kind of being a bigger part of it than just like the third act, basically.
Yeah, that's something, because in the first one, it's almost like Boogie seemed like an afterthought or something to pad out the runtime. Because it seemed like a really good, like the climax with like Jack being shot down would have been like a good bow tie on that story, but they added the Boogie thing in it, and that was kind of interesting, I guess.
Yeah, Oogie Boogie is such a cool character, and they do not give him like much airtime at all. Like, he gets like one big song and that's it. Yeah, I don't know, I think that'd be really cool to see. I don't know, when you were talking about it, it was like Lion King almost, you know, like when Scar takes over the Pride Lands, and it's up to Nala to get Simba back to being king. I don't know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, now those holiday doors are really interesting, and I want to like utilize those in some way, but like I don't know how, but I do know that in my story I do want Boogie being killed by like fireworks from the Independence Day door.
Interesting. So like maybe they experiment with the doors a little bit and like kind of form alliances with the other holidays, kind of thing.
Yeah, because when I was writing my story, I thought about the scene in the movie where Lock, Shock, and Barrel took the Easter Bunny. Remember that?
Yeah.
Now, what if they never took him back, and the following
Easter? Month
that Pat, yeah. What if, because he was never sent back, that ruins Easter, and the sequel would actually be like The Nightmare Before Easter? That could be an interesting Twitch story as well. But I do like that Christmas and Halloween are sort of opposites, so I think those two work well together, and the sequel would most likely be that again. But what if they never sent him back and that ruined something? So they actually find him like tied up somewhere, and they have to free him. And
that's like a side story, though. Yeah, I don't think that would be like a full story. Not to like diss Easter or anything, but like I feel like it just wouldn't be that big of a deal, maybe. I don't know. Like, I guess if you think about in the real world, if you took the Easter Bunny out of Easter, there would still be other symbols to like fill it. It wouldn't be the same, but there are other like the eggs, like there's eggs. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's because the Easter Bunny delivers all the eggs. It would just kind of like, oh my God, where are all the eggs? Why is Easter being? Yeah, I don't know, I can see that happening. Especially in Tim Burton world, where like no one really knows what's going on.
Right. There's also St. Patrick's and like Thanksgiving door and Valentine's Day. Those could be interesting.
I think that would be fun. I would really like to see, and I think that's kind of like what brings both of our stories together, is like the idea that there are these other day like holidays that they could play around with, but they're just not doing that because, you know, it's really just about Halloween and Christmas this time around. But I think we'd both like to see them play around with those other holidays just to see what would happen.
Yeah. A note on the first movie, I think that the citizens of Halloween Town like may have like ruined Christmas, and I say that because when Jack goes there, he realizes that it's different from what he's used to from Halloween Town and their customs. And that's what he likes about it. He likes that it's not what he's used to. Hmm. But when he goes to explain it to his people, they try to make it like Halloween, and he says several times in that song when he's trying to explain it to them that, you know, you just don't get it, that's not it, it's something different. But because they've never experienced that, they don't understand. Like, it's trying to explain sight to a blind person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when they, like, recreate Christmas, they make it, it's bastardized. And I think that if things went differently, then Jack, you know, could have been more successful with Christmas, but things didn't go out that way.
Yeah, and parts of me think that it would have never kind of went well. Even, like, okay, so even if Jack had decided, like, to bring some of the Halloween Towners, like, the townspeople, to go see the holiday holes, and to see Christmas specifically, I don't think they would have been, like, greeted with open arms anyway, because there's such, like, a cultural difference in the different towns. And one of the words that keeps coming to my mind is gentrification, or like colonization, because it's like, you know, they're taking this idea and like making it their own, and it's kind of stealing in a way. It's very like
cultural appropriation or something.
Yeah, that's what it is. Cultural appropriation. And it just would never work. It would never work. I mean, it probably would evolve into something different, and that's kind of the point there, but it just would never be the same. And yeah, it would ruin Christmas.
I think, I mean, for my sequel, I would like for Jack and Santa to make amends, and, you know, I want two things to happen. So I like the wordplay of sleigh, like something dealing with Boogie on a sleigh, and like, you know, like sleigh like kill, but he's on a sleigh. I think that would be an interesting kind of thing. And I want like Jack and Santa to be on the sleigh, handing out gifts. And I think that would be a nice touch.
Like side by side, yeah. Not hostage.
Yeah.
That would be good. That would be really cool. And then, you know, all the people that don't like Christmas would be like, yay, finally, yeah, a holiday that I can get along with.
A Hanukkah door, that would be cool.
I'm surprised I wasn't on there. Even a Kwanzaa door, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something different. But, you know, I'm sure there's a reason that they decided only to do Halloween and Christmas. Was because a lot of religious people would be like, nah. That's not cool.
What, for Hanukkah or?
I mean, I feel like a lot of Jewish people wouldn't care so much, but I'm talking about like the Catholic and the Christian people of the world.
Well, you could say that's why Easter wasn't in the film. Like say there was a crisis on Easter, and like Jesus didn't like rise on the third day. It would just kind of be awkward.
Where'd Jesus go, man? He's always here. Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. Maybe they should have a 420 door.
Oh man.
That's a national holiday, all right? For many, many people on this planet.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you have any other things you wanna say?
Let me think. I think that's really it. It was just, I really just wanted to see him go back to those other doors. That was it.
Yeah, yeah. They've had, like, a video game of and The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Wasn't that on like PlayStation 2 or something? Yeah,
they've had that. And of course, you know, Halloween Town was in the Kingdom Hearts series. So those are like kind of like a like soft, like the games are sort of like soft like sequels or continuations. Mm-hmm. But non-canon, of course. But yeah, it's a pretty good movie. It's pretty short. Yeah. It's really short too.
Yeah, it is. It's only like an hour, 20 minutes, something like that.
Yep.
So with that being said, make sure that you guys take our survey on our website and on SurveyMonkey. I think it's on Anchor as well. You can find the link. Just look in the description. You'll find a link to our SurveyMonkey, which will explain... Well, it'll give you guys a chance to see... You know, like, to give feedback on these different formats that we've been doing for like Know Your Tropes. We've got character psychology coming up. We also have done What Happens Next for this episode. So this will give you guys a chance to kind of voice your opinion. You can also drop us a line on Anchor and actually like do a voice record, and if you want, like, you can showcase it in one of our upcoming episodes. Next year, for the year of 2020, we are looking to do something kind of different. We will probably not be doing podcasts regularly as we have been. So, for example, we're on episode 42 of the year of 2019. That's a lot of episodes. We've been, you know, there's 52 weeks in a year. We've only taken 10 weeks off. That's pretty crazy. And there's only two of us doing this, me and Garrison. And we're gonna kind of cut it down to probably about one podcast a month. Maybe just do seasons and kind of make them better for you guys, so you guys can really see what we're doing. And we're trying to send out a newsletter too, so just make sure you're keeping in touch with us. We'd love to hear what you have to say. But as far as next week episode, this is like one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. Mostly because it doesn't just deal with Christmas, it deals with Hanukkah. And that is Adam Sandler's 8 Crazy Nights. Super excited for that film. And we're going to do character psychology for that one.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
And please share us with your friends and family, as we would love to continue this podcast about your favorite animations. All of the information here is researched by Sarah and Garrison, and this podcast is produced and edited by Sarah Zaudry. Special thanks to Joshua Phillips for the theme music. All while doing our research, we come across some amazing little videos and shots about the process of animation, and we will be happy to share this information with you on our site,
www.podsaga.com.
And if you have any questions about the animations we will be covering, please don't hesitate to ask. Thank you, and have a good day.